let me remind you, this is the Lord's Day. And let's not, as important and as grateful as I am for this day of life, and thank you. I came early this morning and intentionally, and was alone in this sanctuary, and I'll just tell you, I got on my knees before me and thanked the Lord, because if we are blessed, and I am, and you are, we must confess, we know the source of all those blessings, from whom all blessings flow. And I am blessed with life, and thank you. I love you all, and thank you. And whoever gave me those roses, did you do that? Well, thank you for that, too.
The Lord doesn't mind sharing the day with you.
Yeah. All right. We're grateful that you're here, and thank you so much for everything. This is a great day. I love the fall. It's crisp and we can gather, and we're just going to have a wonderful time in worship today as we praise the source of all good gifts and do it with brothers and sisters we love. A couple announcements. These cards, and I saw several of you pick them up, are still at the altar. Have a prayer. Think of others. I know you do. You know that we're called to love God and to love others. When you are receiving God's great gift in communion, lift up those that you think of in need, and then send them a card and let them know you prayed for them. Our Bible study starts again this Thursday. It's every other Thursday. It's at 1517 Thomas Jefferson Road in the Forest Community Church building. We actually are beginning with the first Beatitude this week, so it's blessed are the poor in spirit. It'd be a great time for you to join us. It's a great time together. We have some needs for Parkview, and we see the announcement there, so please get those items to Carolyn. And then also, in a couple weeks, we have a wonderful time, and I think most of us have gone and enjoyed it thoroughly. We're having the Windy Roost stew at the Kirch's Farm. And I think the weather will be great. And Kelly wanted to make a couple of reminders at that point.
Yeah, let's hope that we have good weather, sort of like we have today. If we do get rain and it's ground is soggy, we will cancel or reschedule based on the forecast for the following week. We just hope that everybody can come and have a good time. And just be careful when you walk around, because last one of the calves got out and got into the area around the house, and there's some grounds that are a little rough. So be careful when you walk. The area that we're going to be in around the fire pit is reworked that, so that's okay. But when you park and get out of your car, just be careful where you walk. That's it. Look forward to seeing you.
We look forward to being there. I forgot until I looked over here. There's a card that Gwen made. I just would like you to sign it. It's a thank you card to Forest Community Church to opening up their doors to letting us have Bible study there. If we can pass that around, if you can just sign it. I just want to thank the sister congregation for letting us use their sanctuary. So thank you, Gwen, for making the card. And the pen will float around with the card. And you can thank them. Any other announcements?
The first hymn is on the inside of the song sheet.
The first hymn, which is probably one of my favorite hymns, and I'm told is extremely difficult to do, but I know you, with Mona's leadership, will do a great job. It's the best hymn that Charles Wesley ever wrote. And please focus on the words as we sing it. Thanks, Mona. Prayer requests. Anyone have any prayer requests? Yes, Karen.
I have two. One for my brother-in-law, Troy Mars, and his family. They lost his uncle Saturday evening with COVID. Troy's having a rough time with it. They're very close. And also for my mom, who had surgery on Friday, just pray that she'll start to feel better. She's having a little bit of pain. They were able to take the tumors out, the tumor on her bladder.
Now, is she at home?
She's at Kim's house.
Okay, so let's keep Dorothy in our prayers. Thank you. Any others? Yes, ma'am, Judy.
My sister, Bobby, She's in the hospital with COVID.
Is she in Northern Virginia?
No.
Robbie.
She's a half sister, but we call her. We're sisters.
Let's keep Robbie in our prayers. Thank you. Doc?
Yeah, praise. My daughter came through her surgery very well. She is still very, very tired, but she thinks it helps.
Let's continue to keep Kim in our prayers as she recovers from that. Thank you. Any others? Yes, sir, where?
I have two. A friend of mine, Mike Cullen, found out 3 weeks ago that he's got pancreatic cancer. And he's been sitting in limbo for 3 weeks, not knowing what the next step is. He's got an appointment this week at UVA to find out what stage it is, if it's surgery available. I know that he's, my buddy Steven, I haven't seen Mike, but my buddy Steven told me his jaundice is setting in, skin's yellow, he's dropped 20 pounds. So keep Mike in prayer. And then another friend of mine, Rebecca, her mom has just been told, she's been battling cancer for a while. Her name's Sandra. And she was told by doctors this past week that chemo's not going to do anything. She's probably got somewhere between 1 to 3 months to live. And Rebecca went there to be with her mom yesterday. So we keep Rebecca and Sandra in our prayers as well.
Thank you. Does Sandra live here around town?
She's in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Any other items in prayer? Yes, sir, David.
I just want to thank the church for all the prayers that have been lifted up on my behalf during my little ordeal with surgery. I'm not 100%, but I'm doing a whole lot better, so keep on praying.
Amen. We will do that, brother. And you do the same for all of us. Because I don't know if any of us are 100%. And the worst ones are the ones that think they are. So we'll share each other's prayer requests. That's right. Any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you that you are the God of all life. And you not only give us bios or biological life, you give us Zoe, or life abundant. And we know, not through our own ingenuity and not through our own goodness and not through our own smarts, we know because you have revealed it to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the only place we find true life, abundant life, is in Jesus Christ. So we come thanking you above everything we thank you for the presence of your Son, our Savior, for his love and watch care over us, through carrying us through the earthly sojourn that we have. We thank you for each day as a gift from you, and we also thank you that on that final day when we would not wake up here, we wake up in the presence of God Almighty. And truly, as St. Paul said, that is gain. So we are in a win-win situation, and we thank you for your love and your care. And I thank you for this congregation. I just thank you for a group of people that know that it truly is simple as loving God and loving each other. May we continue through your grace and power to do that. We ask that your love would extend to those that are listed and those that have been mentioned. I thank you for your presence with Troy and his family now and the loss of his uncle. We just pray that you'll draw close to the entire family, especially to Troy, and give comfort. Thank you for his uncle's faith and for that assurance of knowing that his life continues in you. We thank you for the surgery Friday on Darby, and just pray that her pain will continue to be held to a minimum, and that she will continue to effectively see the results of all that have been done. I pray that you'd be with Judy's sister, Robbie. Bless her and strengthen her. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Kim through the surgery well, and just pray that you'll continue to be with her recovery. We pray that you would be with Mike and with Sandra as they seem to be facing what seems to be the final days of their earthly life. We pray that they would continue to see glimpses of grace and build memories with their friends and loved ones during this time. give them a confidence and a peace that passes all understanding, that's not dependent upon clinging to this life, but is simply found in clinging to you. So may they and their families do that. And we just thank you for the praises that we have. We often are quick to offer requests, as well we should, but we're also grateful when we hear how you have worked. And we thank you for David's confession of your working in his life and body, and we pray that you'll continue. We thank you for bringing us here to this point today. There is nothing greater than we will do than that which we'll do for all eternity, and that is praise your holy name. May we do that today as we offer these prayers in that name. Amen. Look with me on the front of the bulletin. As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquities, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
The call to worship is not in the bulletin, but give ear as I read from Psalm 104, 28 to 37. Give ear to the word of the Lord. I will respond at the end. This is the word of the Lord, and you will respond with gratitude. Thanks be to God. They all look to you to give them food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let's stand and sing together our opening hymn.
Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their plans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a nursing child, to the land that you swore to give their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat, that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people, an officer over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders to the people of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." The word of the Lord.
Truth, small enough for children to wade in, and deep enough for elephants to swim in. We will never comprehend the wonders of your mysterious grace found in Christ Jesus. As difficult as it was to sing that opening hymn, far more difficult, yea, even impossible, to grasp the truth of grace that the Almighty God would give all and die for sinners such as me and us. The moment we think we understand this, the moment we confess we do not. But simply like children, may we understand that all we must do is express that reliance of the thief on the cross that simply looks to you and says, Jesus, let me be with you. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Through your work, we are your children. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading today is from James 13 through 20. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Chapel, And I'm standing with my hands on a pulpit 400 years old that came from an Anglican church in England. And there's a lady at the grand piano, just a lady there, named Lovey, who I found out afterwards was 86. And I was talking, and someone said, "Well, what's your favorite hymn, preacher?" And I said, "And Can It Be?" But nobody knows it. And about that time, Lovey starts to play it. And even though I get embarrassed singing Happy Birthday, when it comes to singing praises, as you know, I belt it out. I don't really care how it sounds. And I started singing And Can It Be against that pulpit with Lovey playing the piano. And I was crying. She was crying, but it probably had more to do with the quality of the solos. So thank you for that gift. And it truly is what makes us all joyful. How can it be? On your best day. On your best day. Would you think God would die for you? But he died for you on your worst day. Praise God. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word that brings comfort and strength to us. And we pray now that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the only word we'll hear will be your word. May my words be directed by your Spirit. And may that same Spirit make the meditations of our hearts, the thoughts of our mind, in line with yours. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. All of life is about value. How do you value things? Value is basically, how do you prioritize? What do you choose to do? Every decision you make, if you make them consciously, and I hope you do make decisions consciously, every decision you make, whether it's picking an item on a menu or extremely major decisions, comes down to values. And this is one of those window scriptures that through it we see a larger part of the faith. And I'm going to take my time on this scripture also because it's probably some of the most difficult verbiage in all of the Gospel of Mark and even the New Testament. So we'll slowly work through this because it's important. But when we speak of value, it's basically, how do you prioritize the things and people and events in your life? How do you assign value? Value is from an old French word, actually, that means worth. And value is the regard that we have of the considered importance inherent to a thing. It's far different than what we focus on most of the time, and that's cost or price. You are foolish if you equate the cost of something with its value. If you equate the value for the price of it, you're making a foolish mistake. Even someone like Oscar Wilde, in speaking about a cynic, but I think it's probably true for our whole society, said that we are one that knows the cost of, or price of everything and the value of nothing. We see it all the time, and it's sad when people will throw away that which is valuable for a cost or a price that's too low. C.S. Lewis uses the analogy of children in the shadow of a wonderful pastry shop consuming mud pies. It's a mistake of values. My mother used to bring up a question. It's not new to her. You've probably heard it too. But another way of getting at value is some telling questions. One would be, if, God forbid, if there was a fire at your home and you had to run out first, what would you grab? My mother always said she'd grab her photo albums, which made at least us four children feel sort of second rate. But I assume she meant after all the children was out, she would grab her photo albums. What do you value? Why do you work? I've discussed with my children through the years and others that if you're working simply for your paycheck, you're probably wasting your time. It's not where you should put your value if you settle on just the salary or the benefits. Hopefully somewhere the influence that you're having and the joy you're receiving is important. Jesus spoke about value. Several verses ago in Mark 9, we read in verses 30 to 32, he spoke of his own death. And he lifted up the most valuable thing in all the world. As Peter says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed or corruptible things like silver or gold, i.e. none of those things that cost a lot, but you have been redeemed with something valuable. The precious blood of Christ. That which is to be held in honor, esteemed greatly, valued. In response to Jesus saying that in verses 30 and 32, like us, the disciples didn't get it. They sort of caught that he was talking about value, but they confused it with price or cost, and they started arguing, okay, well, he brought up the topic of value. Which one of us is the greatest? Which one of us does have more rank and standing? Isn't it interesting? It's just a coincidence of the English language, nothing to be made about, but it's some truth in it nonetheless, that discussions of rank are always rank. It stinks. It's not valuable. It's unimportant. It's immaterial. And they missed it. But then what he does is, because he's a patient teacher, in the midst of their misunderstanding, he comes back again in today's text. And he's going to outline, let me tell you, he says, what matters to me. So let's look together at the passage that Jen read in Mark 9, 38 to 50, about what matters to Jesus. What is Jesus' value? What would Jesus grab if the proverbial house was on fire? What would Jesus give his life and make his decisions based on? And I've tried to alliterate, and we will start with the first one. The first thing we see in verses 38 to 41, and stick with me on this because it'll sound confusing because I'm using words carefully that we often use interchangeably, and we shouldn't. Jesus values dogma over doctrine. Jesus values dogma over doctrine. I'll explain in time. The disciples, and I don't know if she did it intentionally, I like the way Jen sort of sounded petty when she reflected and read what the disciples said. It's like they're telling on this guy. They come to Jesus and they go, Jesus, there's somebody preaching and he's not one of us. Now it's interesting what they said. They don't come out of concern for Jesus and say, Jesus, there's someone preaching, and they don't follow you. Look carefully. What did the disciples say? There's one preaching, and he doesn't follow us. There's a lot of revelation in there. We see that what the disciples were concerned about wasn't the truth of the gospel, wasn't the person of Jesus Christ. Basically, what they were saying is, Jesus, there's someone preaching you that doesn't believe our interpretation of you. There's one, to make it just quite practical, there's one preaching you, and they're not of our tribe. They're not from our denomination. They didn't go to the same schools I went to. They don't read the same books I read. They don't look like me. They don't smell like me. They're not following us. Tell them to stop. Like Joshua, in the Old Testament passage that Judy read, he was bothered that Eldad and Medad were preaching. And I love what was in that passage, where would to God that everyone would preach. We're not about in the business of restricting who can talk about Jesus. We would like everyone to talk about Jesus, would we not? We would like everyone to preach the word, not just those that follow us. And what Jesus shows here is that dogma is more important than doctrine. Let me define that. Dogma are those core beliefs that were given to us. Jude in Jude 3 calls it the faith once delivered. For shorthand, so you'll know what we're speaking of, we're going to say the dogma is that teaching of the apostolic church. What we confess, and that's why we do the Apostles' Creed. That's the dogma. We are to value that. It's what we've received. But it's not to be confused with doctrine, which is my interpretation, the church's interpretation, my flavor on the dogma. One is that which was given by the apostolic church. The other is how we're trying to figure it out. Do you follow that distinction? And if the truth is, if I'm honest and if you're honest, most of the time, it's this that I value. I want people to accept my interpretation. I used to be... I'm sort of glad my mother's not here this morning. You know, because I used to be just insufferable. It probably started in how I played Monopoly. Nobody, growing up, I didn't care. I just was going to win. Nobody wanted to play Monopoly with me. Because the only thing I valued was that I crushed you. Unfortunately, when I got into college and seminary, I started to take that same attitude to theology. And the Lord had to convict me through some really difficult circumstances, fortunately several decades ago, that wasn't my calling. And I was actually not being honest, because I would say, well, the reason I'm so intent on debating the things of the faith is I want people to believe the word accurately. And the truth of the matter is, no, that's not the truth. The truth is, I wanted people to follow Tom, just like these disciples. I wanted them to agree with me. And Jesus would tell us today that that's not what he's about. He's not about reinforcing us four and no more. He wants the world with all the flavors and stripes, those that look like us and those that think like us and those that don't think like us, to hear the gospel, to confess him is the only Lord. You know, there are some things we need to believe. Turn with me to Galatians. Because any of you who know me know that I'm not saying that we should be sloppy or inaccurate, that we're to be careless. We're not saying that anything goes, that you can believe whatever you want to believe. No, we value dogma. We value that which was given to us by the apostolic church. We value that. Listen to what Paul says to see what that in Galatians 1. Because the whole book of Galatians was written by people like these disciples in our text this morning who were just upset that there were believers that didn't follow them. And they were trying to convince these believers that, okay, it's fine if you follow Jesus, but you got to do it my way. We do that, don't we? Like the group, the Eagles, sang back in the 70s, you can live in freedom if you live like me. And if we're honest, the church has communicated that too much, haven't we? You can follow Christ if you follow like I do. And there's a point where we need to stick to the core, to the dogma. Look at Galatians 1, verse 7. I begin in verse 6. I am astounded that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is such a thing as a different gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or our heavenly being, an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Put in modern language, that means if you deny or twist or pervert the dogma, the core of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can go to hell. That's exactly what it says. So we're not saying that we don't value any beliefs. We receive with joy this core that's given to us. But brothers and sisters, Jesus would have strong words to his disciples then, or to me, if I expanded the gospel to include everything I believed. Expanded the gospel to not only be about Jesus Christ, but be about Tom Bryant's interpretation of Jesus Christ. Do you follow that? You understand that you are not allowed to build graven images, right? If you were a craftsman in wood or stone, and you were going to build an idol, you would take your hands and you would craft an idol. But before that idol in wood or stone or soap or whatever medium you use, before that idol existed out here, that idol existed somewhere else, right? Where did it exist? Here. So the idol is simply a reflection of what? What you thought about the core. Don't you understand? Shouldn't we grasp that even if we don't craft it in the physical world, we can't equate how I think about God with God Himself? We're called to worship God. We're called to accept Jesus Christ. We're called to proclaim the gospel, not my understanding. And what Jesus said is, let them preach. Because I value truth. I value dogma. I value the core over your doctrines. There's freedom. Count Zinzendorf said a wonderful statement, and you've heard it, and I want you to hear it again. That in some things, like essentials, we want unity. We know that about our own congregation. There's only one name we gather in, correct? There's only one book we preach from, correct? There's only one faith we confess. In essentials, we want unity. But in non-essentials, Jesus would say, if they're not against me, they're for me. If they're not opposed to me, let them be, even if they disagree. So in essentials, we have unity. In non-essentials, we have freedom or liberty. You are released. Right now, I give you the freedom to no longer have to convince anyone about anything in your understanding. Just proclaim Christ. And the Holy Spirit will do His work. Paul says that in Philippians. He preaches the truth and he says, you know, if you get that, fine. But I know there's some of you believers who have a different mind on this. Two people I greatly appreciated died the same year. I'll illustrate this through this. Two people I appreciate died the same year, and you've known, some of you knew, and all of you've heard above. Jerry Falwell Sr. died the exact same year that D. James Kennedy from Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church died. I think all of us would confess they were brothers in Jesus Christ, our brothers. They together recognized and called one another brothers in the family. They understood they had the same Father through Christ Jesus. They would preach together. They would speak at each other's colleges and churches. But guess what? Upon their death, one of them learned the other one, or them, were wrong. Because one was a, and I won't get into all the details, one was a staunch Baptist and believed that baptism was to be ministered to a certain group of people. The other was a staunch Presbyterian and believed that baptism was to be given to another group, a different group of people. Both can't be right, can they? One had to be correct, and one learned on that day of judgment. Oh, I've been wrong. Now, does that matter? Well, I guess it matters for discussion. But as Jesus would say, does it matter for fellowship? Who do we welcome to the table? Whomever would come in the name of Jesus Christ. Who is your brother and sister in Christ? Whoever's your brother and sister in Christ. That's what we value. So what we value, as Jesus would say, is if they're not against me, they're for me. Brothers and sisters, the practicality of this as we go forth is we've often couched the good news in bad ways. We've often preached the good news of the gospel that Jesus wants you to come, and then we very clearly and with detail explained how you're to come. I was reminded of a documentary I saw this past week. Maybe we should take as our lead one of the most effective and prolific preachers and evangelists, I think named Billy Graham, you've probably heard of. And when he asked people to come to Jesus Christ, he was very clear of who they were coming to. But he was also very clear in not valuing his particular doctrine of that. Is what did they sing when they came? Do you remember from any of the Crusades? Just as I am. It's interesting, it didn't say, just as you think I ought to be. Just as I am. Just as you are. Just as I'm talking. Just as you are. See, Jesus valued people. May we go forth as a church, and may we truly value the core of Jesus Christ. But may we go forth preaching the gospel to all people. You may be amazed who God will save. And can it be? He may save people and redeem people and include people that you wouldn't invite to your Christmas parties. And you know how I know that? He called me. And he called you. And if we're not most amazed that he included me, if you're not most amazed he included you, we don't understand what Christ values. He values people, all people, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together. Using the words given to us in the Apostles' Creed, the faith once delivered. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you. And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We exalt you, Lord God, for the holy extravagance of your salvation. Worthy are you to whom we bow. For in your Son you have knelt before us in humility. You have looked with favor upon your servant Israel. You have scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, and have lifted up the lowly. Your Son, though of the same love and same mind as you, did not regard equality with you as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness, he humbled himself, even unto death on a cross. You lifted him up in resurrection glory, and exalted him to your right hand on high. And so on bended knee, we confess him as Lord, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, joining the unending hymn. Holy,
holy, holy, holy Lord,
God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Communing God, make your joy complete by uniting together as you are those who share this meal with the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. As we remember his saving mercies, make us to be of the same love, the same heart, sharing the same spirit. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may become for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of every consolation, bring your kingdom among your children, who are bowed low under the weight of oppression. Send your spirit of truth into places where servanthood has turned to exploitation, service has turned to slavery, or humility has turned to bonded labor. Empty your church of all that obscures its witness to the cross of Christ. Make us ready for that one eternal day when we shall kneel around your throne, together with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, in the company of Jesus our Lord, giving all praise and glory to you, God our Father, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We truly do fence our table, seeking to use the words of Christ himself. If he is not against me, if she is not opposed to me, she is for me. He is for me. The way I ask you that is, all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and in sincerity and truth, are welcome to come and to receive this holy mystery given to us as his church. The table is open. Come, let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
Our gracious God, we thank you for the truth found in Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Spirit who's borne witness in our hearts and in the world to the veracity of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the love of the Father in whom we rest. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you praise both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
haunted by waters. So is life. From the beginning in Genesis, where the Spirit came upon the waters, to the final chapters in Revelation, where water streamed from the throne of God, our salvation's about water. We confess in these core, we know this, for we are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. It's all about water. It's an interesting thing about water. You're either wet or you're not. There's no more or less wetness. Same thing with redemption. And this is what Jesus values. We're not more or less redeemed. We're all in Christ Jesus, equally redeemed and set free to praise and worship His name. And therefore we can say, the Lord has blessed us and will keep us. The Lord has made His face to shine upon us and will be gracious to us. The Lord has lifted up His countenance and will give us peace both now and forever. Amen. Amen. The service is over. God bless. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.